There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Marcus. I'm Ben. With us, as always, from sunny Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm a raisinette, Henry Zebrowski.
Raisinette?
I used to be a grape, but now I'm just a scarred piece of just horrible fruit jerky playing chess.
You're calling raisinettes fruit jerky?
Yeah, they're a lesser fruit.
Oh, I see. Even though they're covered in chocolate?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Which was the... It's just the California raisins.
Yeah, you're just thinking of California. Get chocolate out of your brain.
I just consider everything, any raisin to be a raisinette. I call raisins pre-raisinettes.
Oh. That's a good thing to call them. That's very nice. Every raisin definitely, what do they say, wants to be a raisinette. They all want to be picked. It would be sad if you were just a little raisin. And then, well, first of all, you start as a tasty grape, and everyone loves a grape.
Oh, yeah.
Then absolutely. You're just a little schlubby raisin, and then you don't even get covered in chocolate.
Some toddler's, like, wet fingers all over you.
Ugh, yuck.
You know what I mean? And I don't need that outside of when I'm paying for it, if you know what I'm saying.
I totally agree. And you know that kid's crying because no happy baby eats raisins. They need chips.
I had to go to the hospital once because I took a raisin and I shoved it so far up into my sinus cavity, they had to suck it out with a vacuum.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, that's a bad.
So I'm mad at him still.
Good. I think you have every right to be upset with the raisin that tried to assassinate you.
I know. It's like I'm Biggie Smalls.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, speaking of assassinations and overall things that will kill, today we're going to explore the dark world of internet fetish websites. And we came up with this idea after reading a story. It's been going on here in New York City.
This is like Ben's like favorite story on the face of the planet right now. It's pretty fucking awesome.
It's a captivating story about a former New York City police officer named Gilberto Vallee.
Which is a fantastic name.
Yes.
It sounds like a guy who's like selling like Mexican beer.
It does. It really does. And he conspired to murder and cook and then eat his wife with a couple of co-conspirators on a website called darkfetish.com.
No, darkfetishnet.
Darkfetishnet.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was with what, like Chef Boyardee 69 and like another guy, yeah, named Ravioli Doctor.
Yeah, meat hands. Meat man. And
we got to take her and we put her in Italian. We call her raviolinis. Oh, it's so good.
I mean,
and we can them and we sell them to the poor.
I would eat that. A person, human meat inside of a nice ravioli. I think that's a fine way to present a tasty person.
I was looking online. Speaking of dark things on the internet, I ended up on the WTF board on Reddit, and they had this vivisection of a human leg looking at a sample of leg cancer.
Mm-hmm.
God, it looked delicious.
And those were the sorts of things that Gilbert Vallee would like jack off to and exactly, like Henry said, want to eat. And
yum, yum.
So he is on trial for conspiracy to kill his wife, Kathleen Mangan. And
this is also pre-Taco Henry. I haven't had my fucking tacos today. I went and had a salmon sandwich.
Salmon sandwich?
So I'm already getting hungry just talking about this.
I have never... Salmon doesn't belong on a sandwich.
It's horrible.
It does when you're in Beverly Hills, 90210.
Oh, please, Henry. It's changed you.
Taking meetings, man. Woo! Sunglasses on.
Vallee also wanted to kill his college sweetheart, Kimberly Sawyer. So basically, what separates this from other people who jack off to certain things on the websites was his... He was really hands-on. He bought the ropes. He was really very, very close to doing it. And the email exchanges between him and some co-conspirators, one fellow in Pakistan known as Moody Blues, were very detailed. And they seemed...
Does anyone talk with the remaining members of Moody Blues and see how they feel about this?
They're not supportive of the name. They're not totally behind it. But the email exchanges and the chat exchanges were so serious and were seemingly coming to real life that he was arrested and things like that. So now he's on trial,
like,
and it's quite hot.
It's like Jordan, right? When Jordan was a little kid, yeah, a lot of kids talked a big game about playing basketball in the NBA, mm-hmm. right? All of them were just like, oh, yeah, man, I'm going to be drafted number one. Yep. And Michael Jordan sat there, and he was like, no, but you know what? I am going to be drafted number one. And so he went, and he contacted his Pakistani friend, Moody Blues, mm-hmm. on the internet and began an email campaign that got him to be six-peat. Six-peat Michael Jordan.
Six-peat Michael, although not drafted number one.
Mm. Really?
He was number three.
Yeah.
Ah, well, that is a disappointment.
But some of the email exchanges between Valet and this one fella, this was called Gingerbread Witch Tactics. And it's pretty great. Co-conspirator
read
one.
It. Can you read the? Yeah,
I'll read it. He says, co-conspirator one, it's really hard to dislocate a jaw. Also, how would we put her over the fire? Spitting kills girls, you know, like putting a spit through her. Mm-hmm. Have you put her in, have to put her into a cage? What's your favorite cut of meat? And then Valet says, I was thinking of tying her body onto some sort of apparatus. Cook her over a low heat. Keep her alive as long as possible.
Mm.
Which, I mean, these guys really get a show on the Cooking Network already.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This, yeah. All a part of the slow food revolution going on in the culinary arts. Right?
There's nothing more organic than a friend.
No.
You know?
No, exactly. Talk about locavore.
Indeed.
He's right next to me.
He's eating right out of his house. I mean, it's his wife, but that's kind of nice.
God, I'm hungry.
Well, let me stop you right there for a second, give you a little bit of insight into what kind of people hang out on darkfetishnet.com.
Okay. Now, this is the thing. So he just went on forums and started just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Right? He just writing, I'm thinking about killing and eating my wife. And everyone was just like, me too.
Pardon the pun, but I do think it was a slow burn. Because he started off and he just sort of looked. And I feel like what happened with this guy is, what happens with a lot of people on the internet, he got yes-anded into this situation. He probably just started off with like, hey, I love to eat pussy.
Yeah.
This is the problem with these fucking improv people.
Right.
Is that as soon as they get involved in any place, they're just, it's all sorts of shenanigans.
They just take it to the dark spot. Marcus, who's looking at these websites?
I am looking at the profile of a man who calls himself Dave Hung Like a Horse Porter.
Smallest dick
sure
on the internet.
His net. No. I am looking at an actual picture of Dave Hung Like a Horse right now. He is 57 years old. Would you like to
look him up?
Henry, I'm going to send you a picture of him right now. Let's see.
And
here.
So you feel like judging by this picture, he is truly hung like a horse?
My God. I'm going to show you right quick,
man.
All right,
here, let me see this.
It just makes me think of the Nine Inch Nails songs. Like,
I didn't realize when Marcus said there was a picture of him that he was fully naked and you got to see his huge horse cock. Indeed,
just
hung like a horse.
Yeah. I'm sending it to you right now. Henry Zabrowski.
And so what's horse cock's MO?
Yeah, all right. Let me tell you about this guy. He's 57 years old. He's here in the. By the way, his username is One Fenway Fan.
Oh, okay.
He's a Red Sox fan, of course.
Yeah, it says.
Whoa, look at that trunk.
Yeah, it says.
What's this guy doing?
Henry, get closer to the computer. I can't hear you.
Oh my good lord! It looks like it's like a brown. It's like a stick.
Yeah, and he's clean
like a tree
shorn too.
First three words that come into your head, Henry, looking at that sweet, sweet dong.
The giving tree.
All right, here's his bio. Hi, my name is Dave, and I am 56 and married.
Can I read it? Do you mind if I read it?
Go ahead. I wanted to read it, but you.
Oh, no, all right.
Now go ahead.
Hey, my name is Dave. I'm 56 and married. I'm into just about anything. I love women. My favorite fetish is beheading. I love to talk to women about chopping up the head. I love to jerk off in front of women. I have a pretty large cock. My wife told me when she's all fucked out, no good anymore, I could chop off her head behind the woodshed. I can't wait.
Favorite quote, put your fucking neck on the block, bitch.
Oh, okay.
But right. I think that was from the second Winnie the Pooh book.
Henry, read his other, his main fetish interest is decapitation. Read his other fetish interests.
Other fetish interests. Hanging by the neck. Anal insertions. Fucking a bitch after her head's chopped off.
Uh-huh.
Tied up.
watching someone fuck my wife.
That last one's all in caps.
Oh, okay. All right.
And what I would like to do with someone offline,
I really
Henry.
I should have opened this up in an incognito window. I didn't realize what I was doing.
Yeah, it might be very illegal soon. Which is something that we can discuss with this valet trial.
Yeah.
And if he is convicted of, conspiracy to commit murder, it might have a chilling effect on these dark fetish websites.
He really does have such a pretty smile, though. That's the thing.
That valet.
Yes,
he does. Here's another text, a nice exchange from him. This one's called 75 pounds of tasty lady. Valet writes, I love that she's asleep right now, but... I love that she's asleep right now, not having the slightest clue of what we have planned. Her days are numbered. I'm glad you're on board. She does look tasty, doesn't she? Co-conspirator one. You don't know.
This was like the old like AOL chat rooms where they just share pictures back and forth and shit like that?
I guess so.
I think this is message boards. Like, you can go to Dark... Yeah, just check out the message boards on Dark Fetish Net.
Yeah. And then Co-conspirator one says... You do know if we don't waste any of her, this is nearly 75 pounds of food there. Which, I mean, that's a good amount of food from
that's
one
a hell
person.
Of a lot of food.
Yeah,
it's a nice haul.
They're not talking about the bones and shit like that. You can't eat the bones.
You can boil them for soup
and stuff like that.
They're talking straight meat. I think they're going, post-cook. They're thinking 75 pounds of pure succulent human meat coming off of this dude's wife.
Again, yes, this all starts as storytelling. When does it move into the actual, the movement, the actual wanting to do
it? Well, with Valet, when he did end up going and meeting that college girl that he was thinking about killing. Mm-hmm. So that was a very, personal thing. And then he talks about it, they were eating dinner or out for lunch or something. And he talks about it in a chat room with his co-conspirators about how he was staring at her lips, about how she looked so unbelievably tasty.
She voluntarily met with him
No. She has no idea that he wants to eat her. You know, that's just not something you bring up on a fourth or fifth date. You know,
that's not on his OkCupid profile.
It's funny you mention OkCupid. That's actually where he met his wife.
Wow.
They met a year ago on OkCupid. He immediately knocked her up. And so you get the feeling that he was relatively upset to be in this marriage to begin with. And he wanted to take it out on her by eating every inch of her body.
Wow, this is another profile on darkfetish.net. Natalia Guseva's, she is volunteering to be, mature Russian sow for breeding and slaughtering for meat.
Okay.
My main fetish, me at industrial slaughterhouse and at meat market.
And that gets into what Marcus researched today, a little thing called Vore, V-O-R-E. I have never heard about this before. Marcus, what is Vore?
Well, Vore is short for vorophilia.
Okay.
It's a paraphilia where arousal occurs from the idea of someone or something eating or being eaten by someone or something. It is thus distinguishable from cannibalism, the actual act of human eating human flesh, as there are no bounds on the species of either party in vorophilia. And in fact, what vorophilia usually is, the most common one that I found was snake-eating woman.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I found this thing on – I found this site called VorTube, which is mostly – it's bad. It's real bad. And they have videos. Most of these things are pictures, the Vor. It's a lot of pictures of women being eaten. It's a lot of, Rule 34 shit, I found a particularly disturbing Sonic the Hedgehog one.
Was it because it messed with your childhood?
No, fuck my childhood. I hate it when people say that bullshit. It's like, it ruined my childhood. It's like, what? Grow up, you fucking idiot.
All right.
So this is an audio clip that someone made and uploaded to this site. All right, check this out. This one is called I Have Thought About.
I've thought about it a lot. I want you and your friends to cook me and eat me. First, take off all my clothes. You should stretch me out and fuck me, then fuck me again. At some point, I will tell you to do me. Consider that a point of no return. No matter what I say after that, don't let me go. I want you and your friends to do your worst. By the morning, there should be nothing left of me but bones.
What do you think about that?
I had no idea that Mavis Beacon was such a pervert. That's amazing. And by the way, I haven't thought about Mavis Beacon in forever.
I haven't either.
You put some, like, you know, ambient music under that and a beat, you got a Radiohead song. Here we go. So look at this. I just found a forum of vore and what they call gynophagia.
What's gynophagia?
Gynophagia is exactly what they're talking about, which is, you know, incest mixed with cannibalism, mixed with rape, mixed with bondage. So a whole
it's a real stew of everything wrong.
Yeah.
And apparently there was a fan fiction website of this type of stuff, and I just found a story here that I would like to read.
I've got one as well.
All right.
Called How I Ate My Grandmother.
What's your story all about, Timmy? Thanks for bringing it to class today.
I always loved my grandma. She used to be simply great, and she loved to play with me and my siblings and my cousins. She used to be a great cook, and she always had an answer to our questions. Then disaster struck. She was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, a cruel disease. Really, it doesn't kill fast, but slowly destroys a human brain. First, Grandma forgot things. Then she started to forget us. Over time, all her family members became strangers, and they got worse over time. However, physically, she was fit for a lady in her 80s. She was doomed to die slowly, losing her mind, being trapped by this horrible disease. For a couple of years, things got worse. Granny was slowly dying in the hospital, losing her mind, losing herself. I did always think of Granny. I had to end this. I was working on a secret project, a machine to turn back time. Could I give back her youth to Grandma? I work like if I was possessed by a demon. And I found a solution, a machine to turn back time, to make her young again. The result never was stable. Rats I rejuvenated got younger, but only for 24 hours. Then they aged quickly and died a horrible death. I wasn't able to solve the problem while Grandma's health declined. Then I thought about cannibalism. When we were kids, Grandma used to play cannibal games with us.
What?
She was a witch like in Hansel and Gretel.
It's a bizarre leap, you know?
Only because, oh, yeah. I mean, this is fiction.
Yeah.
All right, so I met Granny in the hospital. She didn't recognize me. She was 84 right now. Her body was healthy, but her mind wasn't. It was horrible to see a person you love in that state of mind. I had to wait for days, many days. Finally, she was back. For a moment, Grandma's mind was clear. "Help me, please, Jonathan," she said. "Yes, Grandma, I will help you. I have found a way to end this," I said, and told her about my plan. At first, she didn't believe me, but then she agreed. Just minutes later, her mind was black again. Later on, she met me in a nearby forest, and we drove to the laboratory. She looked at my machine in disbelief. There was a humming sound and some blinking lights. She entered the machine and went to my computer to activate it. There was a humming sound. After 50 minutes, the process was finished. I opened the door and inside a young woman in her 20s with long red hair, smooth white skin, nice medium-sized breasts, and wonderful green eyes.
Grandmother.
Jonathan, you did it. I'm young again, she said. You're looking absolutely stunning, Grandma, I replied. Well, we have some time left until you need to be prepared and cooked. She stopped me. Jonathan, let's have sex for one last time. What?
One last time.
Grandma, please don't. But she was my grandma, but yet also a stunningly beautiful young woman. And please don't call me Grandma. My name is Emily. She quickly undressed herself, removed those old lady clothes, and I didn't undress myself. Then we had sex, and I must say it was the best sex I ever had. We both explored our young bodies. We both touched, kissed, and licked each other's bodies for more than 2 hours.
Henry, don't say words like that anymore. I'm just happy to know what Stephen Urkel's up to nowadays.
One last bit. All right, okay. This is fucking horrible.
Yeah, go there.
So we invited, I guess, after she was clean, we went to the kitchen. In a few hours, the guests would arrive, so I checked the oven one last time. By that time, the doorbell rang. It was my sister Judy and her boyfriend. Both of them agreed to help me prepare and Grandma Emily and followed me to the kitchen. We oiled Emily's beautiful body and made some stuffing we stuffed in her ass and her pussy. Ugh. Grandma liked it, especially when her young pussy was stuffed. Finally, I shoved a potato up her pussy and a carrot up her ass. Grandma Emily had a laugh when I took a mirror to show her oiled and stuffed body. I'm looking like a turkey, Jonathan. We put her on a plate, put some more vegetables on this plate, and shoved her in the oven. We didn't want to torture Grandma, so we slowly raised the heat, step by step. She would feel no pain and fall asleep at some point of the cooking process. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's right.
No, no, that's not how it works.
I mean, then they just go, they just say they loved her and they ate her, and then, Grandma, you were delicious. In love, Jonathan. The end.
Obviously, Jonathan here is writing a piece of fiction.
Right.
And his grandmother doesn't actually think that that she's going to be cooked. But can we go back to valet just real quick?
Real quick.
Please,
And then I want to read one called Mommy's New Diet.
Okay, well, we can just read Mommy's New Diet. I was just going
to
say
I want to hear more about valet.
Yeah. Let's go more back to valet for a bit.
The one major difference between that story and the valet story is his wife truly believed that she was going to be eaten and murdered.
Yeah.
Well, she was on the witness stand. When she was on the witness stand, they asked her, like, so what was he going to do to you? And she was like, I was going to be tied to a bed with my feet, and my throat was going to be slit, and blood was going to gush out of me.
Does she understand that it's satire? We're playing characters.
Right. But this is where sort of valet takes it to the other level. In a chat conversation, they're talking about how she's going to kick and scream and how, she's going to, beg for mercy. And
that's just giving her line readings.
Right.
I mean, you don't know how she's going to be.
That's true. You can't predict. What if she absolutely loved it? And then, his co-conspirator was like, don't listen to her, don't give her mercy. And then he responded with, it's okay, we'll just gag her. And so it was much more malicious than that unbelievably, mildly romantic story about Jonathan and his grandmother.
Yes.
Well, was she just mad that it wasn't romantic? Would she have been fine with it if he was just like, and I will lay flower petals down upon the plate right before we cut her tits off?
Clinical.
Women would definitely prefer a little more romance. So, yeah, he might have been able to salvage the relationship had he had slightly more flower petals around.
And this is important for all boyfriends out there. You know, you can't just deliver something straight edge to your woman. You know what I mean? You got to gussy it up. You got to really start thinking about what they want, how they want to be murdered.
Yes, that's right, Henry.
All right,
Marcus, please.
Mommy's New Diet. This is written by Dancing Queen 6281.
Okay.
And I'm going to skip a lot of the exposition in the story.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have read it fully, skipped mine as well. But I just, it's fun to get the full feeling.
Of course.
You say Dancing Queen, I just imagine someone who looks exactly like Dan St. Germain.
Dan St. Germain, a very successful stand-up comedian. I also imagine somebody who often tucks his penis between his legs and he looks in the mirror. And then he prances more than dances.
Well, how the story starts off, a lot of the paragraphs, it's explaining Mommy's sleepwalking problem.
Okay.
And Mommy is having a dream about going to a luau in which a suckling pig is being cooked. Mm-hmm. And Mommy has a toddler, a very young son, that is asleep. And a lot of times Mommy sleepwalks and comes and sleeps next to him. So it was no big deal that Mommy came in sleepwalking one day and started to stroke his face. So we're going to start with Mommy at the luau.
And this is involving a toddler? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
How many horrible stories I know that start at a luau? I can't even count.
Yeah.
It's the poi.
It's the what?
It's the horrible poi that we're forced to eat.
Poi. Yes. God.
Sounds better than a salmon sandwich.
It's true.
All right. At the luau, all eyes were on Meredith as she was pulling the perfectly roasted body of the suckling pig closer and closer to her. She was too hungry to bother with etiquette or manners. She was going to devour this juicy delicacy whole. She started to stretch her mouth open, wider than she ever had before. "Mommy," muttered Branny, nervously as his mother's mouth opened into a gaping chasm before his very eyes. "What are you..." The question was cut short as Meredith shoved her son's head completely into her open mouth.
Oh my.
Her lips wrapped around his young neck and her tongue slathered his face. Branny squirmed and whined, confused and frightened. The suckling pig tasted better than anything else that Meredith had ever had in her life. She wanted to savor it, but the demanding growls of her stomach would not let her delay. She knew she had to get this massive meal down and into her deprived belly as quickly as she could to satisfy her crippling hunger.
I'm so hungry.
Meredith grabbed the cotton-clad shoulders of her son and shoved them into her mouth while she simultaneously took a loud gulping swallow. The boy's head was jammed down her throat, and his frightened cries were muffled by the tight passage in which he found himself. Branny started to struggle harder, trying desperately to pull himself out of his mother's mouth. Meredith couldn't believe how glorious this meal was, but she knew she had to hurry. Other dinners at the luau had grabbed the legs of the pig and were trying to pull it back out of her mouth. They wanted to deprive her of this food that she so desperately needed, but she wasn't going to let them. With a rather violent jerk, Meredith threw her head back as she took another loud gulp. This swallow sucked down her son's chest and stomach, and now his pajama-covered legs were sticking up in the air out of her mouth and kicking violently. He screamed and cried, but all that could be heard from outside were a few muffled whines, barely audible as his head was now about to enter his mother's stomach, and so on and so forth.
Okay, all right. It's sort of a Jonah and the whale situation.
Yeah, that's about halfway through the story. It keeps it goes on and on, and I skipped a lot in the beginning. That's just kind of that's the meat of the story in the beginning.
Yeah, but that's to use a phrase.
But that's what they're really into. They're into this idea of like consuming the entire body. This is like one of these version of this like this vore type cannibalism stuff that you could see how, I mean, I have no idea why people enjoy it.
I mean,
but
it
you
makes
could
a
also...
lot of sense though.
Yeah.
It's relatively common with a lot of serial killers. You know, you have your Jeffrey Dahmer obviously being the most famous, but a lot of serial killers would take memorabilia and things like that to remember their victim. And what's more memorable than when you eat their arm? You know, when you actually eat their flesh. I mean, I think that's the whole point of it.
This is a whole different thing, though. Like, this isn't actually eating people. Or like, this is like eating someone as a snake or a snake eating someone. Like, one of the most.
So you fantasize being the predator.
Yes.
This
right?
is exactly. super fantasy. That's, yeah, this that's is like. That's a fantastical thing.
Yeah.
But then some of this stuff on this darkfetish.net, it's just like, I just really wonder where does, like, where is the difference between a guy like Valet and you know, someone who just likes to write about this shit?
Well, I think the difference there's another story with Valet. He was talking to a fellow named Throat Slitter, and Throat Slitter sent him a video of a goat having its throat slit. And so it was really taking a serious turn when Valet, like, he wanted his wife after she had the baby. Mm-hmm. He really wanted his wife to go running. And so he would map out her route for her, and then he would always choose. First of all, he suggested that she go running at night, which no loving husband does. That's absolutely, hey, honey, go run at night, you know, when you're the most possible, when it's the best possibility for you to get raped.
To sleep. Yeah, you're about to go to sleep. Why don't you,
but
I'm put your shoes and go for a bit of a run. That'd be great, yeah.
It's pitch black out there, very scary. He also only wanted her to run on roads without streetlights. So there and this is true. So it was taking these sort of like real life it was taking a real life angle to it that I think obviously if you're pretending to be a snake and you actually see that in real life, that's just shenanigans.
Yeah.
That's just somebody crawling on their stomach, chomping their mouth at you. And it's really not that terrifying.
And let me read you. Let's do a comparison. All right, we read the profile on Dark Fetish Net. Dark Fetish Net, fucked up. Like, I'm gonna read you a profile from the Vore site.
Okay,
like, from the site about like eating snakes and all that. I got accepted to Oklahoma University Pharmacy School.
Oh, that's amazing.
means for me, my life is finally pointed in a direction for once, finally on the road to getting a big boy job. What that means for you, I only have to make C's in all my classes, meaning I don't have to study as much, meaning more time for drawing.
Oh, so that's nice.
It's let me much read you more fantasy.
Let me read you another darkfetish.net person profile.
Let's hear about it.
Ms. Morbidly Obese Z. Who I am, a single diabetic mom and soon-to-be grandmother, just found out. Morbidly obese at 435, and I know my life expectancy is low. I have had a dark daydream since my preteens. I don't place blame on anyone for my feelings. At times, I escape to DFN to indulge my dark side as it helps me cope with my real-life challenges. My main fetish, big game hunting of yours truly. At 435, I qualify for those hunters who enjoy bagging a super obese female beast. Human or animal hybrid that the scientists of the future put together to give hunters a new thrill. Good for both trophies and meat, the hunting preserves of the USA and UK stock their private lands with Hugh sows and Hugh cows. I enjoy riding on Hugh sows and Hugh cows.
Wow.
I'm always
cows.
The victim and never the predator. Love playing a very large Lolita character.
Yeah.
Naive, nerdy, who gets taken advantage of. And I'm going to email you the pics that she has on her website for you to see.
Send them over to me, brother.
Oh, yeah. Very excited.
And this is, and then the other one was Gemma. Gemma is, is a girl who says that her main fetish is that she wants to grow up to be a toilet piggy.
All right. And,
this is just an example of this universe, right? This right. universe is not like there's many different other types of fetishes, right? Like besides, another one, like, this that is I've, just the darkest where it goes.
Yeah. Another one that I found was called unbirthing.
Okay.
Like, which it's exactly how it sounds. It is.
I sent it to you, by the way, Marcus.
What's that?
Is it shoving?
All right, cool.
Is it shoving the child inside of the vagina?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of it is like comic books, or not like comics, like comic strips. I'm looking at one right now that is just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It's also part of that goes into like they love like the big belly. Mm-hmm. Like the huge belly on women, even if they're not pregnant. Part of this shit is just them looking for some sort of like big bellied woman. That's like part of their fetish. And I think this stuff
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, all of the things that you guys are saying, it's complete fantasy. It's completely not plausible, you know? And that's what's so scary about the valet character. Everything that he wants to do, you could actually technically do.
Oh, dear
God. But how
did
they know that he was going to do it besides the fact that she was just scared of him?
There's other situations going on with this co-conspirator, too. And the co-conspirator, too, wanted him to kidnap, knock a girl out for him, and then deliver the girl to him. And valet was going to receive $5,000. And valet says, $5,000 and she's all yours. Co-conspirator, too, says, well, can we do four? And then valet is like, I'm putting my neck out on the line here. You know, we can't do four. It's got to be five. So he's making like money transactions.
Yeah, you can't negotiate.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like a relatively low number anyway for a human woman.
I think so.
Yeah, you can't, I mean, you have to.
He's a cop.
A woman should cost more than a Pontiac. That's the only rule that I have.
I'm really going out on a line here, Jerry. I'm just really sticking my neck out here.
It's crazy. So I think that's one of the situations that really separates this valet character. Marcus, you have some other fantasy?
I got what Henry sent me, and that is fucking disgusting.
All right, let me see a picture of this woman.
I mean, well, it's not a picture of the woman per se. It's just like pictures of her fantasy. Like
it's
this
Photoshop
is
Photoshop pictures of her being gutted and shit.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's hitting way too close to home for me.
Yeah,
that's sad. She's just a redheaded gal with a nice size gunt, I suppose we could call it, and a large droopy red bosoms.
I mean, and I found this other site called Marshman Media, which actually goes, it's videos, and it definitely goes more towards the cannibal cop sides of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's one video called Funeral Home Boogie.
Okay.
Which is 35 minutes, and it is obviously, and it's a woman in what is obviously a funeral home on a funeral home slab. And it's just a guy fucking with her for a while and then fucking what is supposed to be a dead body. And these videos are extremely, one's called Necro Love Story 2.
Right.
And Hogtie Killer 10 Part 1, Homeless Shelter, Throat Slice Morgue.
Hogtie Killer 10 Part 1? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's also Killer 7 Part 2. Is that better?
No! These guys got the numbers all wrong.
Just my question, do you think this keeps people from doing these things, or do you think it encourages them to do these things?
I think in Valet's case, this is all leading up to him actually doing it.
You know, this is funny. Is that I was thinking about this exact same thing last night. I was watching that. Have you seen that Ed Gein movie on Netflix?
Yes, I have.
It's deranged.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's the one that was made in like 2000. It's pretty good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it. Like, you know, when the woman comes over and asks him about, like, she sees the book that he's reading on Headhunters.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like just talking about it like it's just nonchalant. I think if Ed Gein would have had somebody to talk to about all this shit, things may not have gone as far as they would have.
I think if you could have just found people I think he was also pretty retarded.
He was. I think he was more like schizophrenic than retarded.
He was.
And just completely fucked up by his mother.
I don't know, though. I think in a lot of cases, I agree with you, and I think it's important to get, like, you know, you can get it out online, you can role play, and you can have fantasy. I don't think, like, Valet and Ed Gein, their brains weren't creative enough to have fantasy.
Yeah.
What they said, and also, this is a police officer. It's a very matter-of-fact mind that goes into the police force. There's not exactly a lot of, like, artistic.
It's very true. And they're cowboys as well. He's NYPD. This is a guy who's looking for action in the first place.
Right, and he knows how to do all this stuff. And, of course, regardless if he gets convicted of the conspiracy for murder and rape and eating humans, he'll go to prison for stealing all the information from the NYPD database, which is really a huge violation.
That's the big crime, because in the end, it's all circumstantial evidence. evidence of, you know, we're just going to be talking about, like, how serious was he? Is he, you know, then they'll go into, like, sex addiction and all this stuff. But then everyone should also take a look at the Jeffrey Dahmer Files movie. It is fucking incredible.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh, is it just in theaters or can you get it online?
It is on Apple TV. You can get it on iTunes. It's
fucking
incredible. It's one of the best docs I've ever seen. And it's kind of, there was a great part where it's like basically when they found him, there were shots inside of his apartment that I had never seen before. And one of the things that they found when they had him is that he had a big pot going with four hands and a bunch of dicks in it.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah, he was making a soup.
Hand dick soup.
But yeah, hand job soup. Yeah.
Once again, the most amazing thing about Dahmer all took place in an apartment building.
Yeah.
The balls and on that guy.
They have an interview with one of his neighbors who was a black lady who was talking about how, like, where he lived was in, like, a blacks only neighborhood in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. right next to the chocolate factory. And he went up to him, and basically, at some point, she went up to him and she was just like, why do you live here? You know, just like, why are you here? And, you know, she's like, oh, you know, it's right next to my work. You know? Because that's how we talked in the interviews afterwards. And then afterwards, she's just sitting there and she's like, and I can't believe that I was his friend. And I tried to friend him and I tried to do all this stuff. And, you know, he gave me a sandwich from his house. He gave me a sandwich. And what if it had human meat?
It did. Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
Did she say how it tasted?
She said it was great. It's delicious.
That's so great.
Let me ask you guys a question here. This is another thing.
Get some Milwaukee ham.
I mean, that's the thing. If you get, like, he liked Thai boys, for example, do you put a Thai sauce on that meat? If you kill a white person, do you put the mayonnaise on?
No, yeah. What you want to do is you want to fry it twice so it's good and crispy.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Crispy dude.
Let me ask you guys a question here. This was something I was thinking about last night after I watched that movie. Do we know of any serial killers out there that are known to have murdered people that they know besides Ed Gein? Because if I think back to a lot of serial killers throughout the years, it seems like it's a lot of strangers, a lot of chance encounters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have, what's his name? There's a guy named Hirons, the guy from England. He killed his mother, and he had his mother's head in the back of his car.
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit of mother murder, and that was another thing we were talking about before the show with this valet character. I think he makes him worse than BTK and worse than a lot of other serial killers because he targeted his own wife. And I think that's very rude. You gotta love your woman, you know.
But you don't shit where you eat.
That's right.
Yeah, I do. But I do think that I think mothers are a big thing.
Yeah, mothers.
But
are huge.
Besides that, a lot of serial killers don't kill people they know.
Yep.
Well, yeah, they don't.
In fact, a lot of them are known as to the people they know. Or, you know, like BTK was known as a loving father. And a lot of these people, like the
member of his church
them.
Or an NYPD officer. I mean, that's why valet fits the perfect description of a serial killer, and that's why I think he was really going to pull it off. There's other emails where he talks.
Well, it seems like it's more personal. Serial killers like looking for people that have no one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it's too personal to be a serial killer.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think serial killers consider anybody having anyone at all. Anyway. I don't think that plays into the psyche whatsoever. They don't look
for
prostitutes
because
they think that they don't have any loved ones. They look for prostitutes because they're out at 3 o'clock in the morning and they get into their car.
But it's mixture. It's half and half of both. That's why they look for them in the first place.
Yeah.
And also sometimes they believe that God is telling them.
Well, that is an interesting
thing. Because I mean, I think that's the only thing that God can do.
Well,
you know?
Going back to the valet story, as far as the kidnapping of the squirrel for $5,000, the guy tried to screw him down for $4,000. He went with $5,000. Valet does mention she will definitely make the news. So I think that is true. It is easier to kill somebody who has nobody because then no one's going to be calling Channel 7 reporting somebody missing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, with this guy, he was talking about how he can hardly restrain himself. And he's like, you know, I'm just going to knock her out. All this stuff about how he was going to – he went into great detail about how he was going to kidnap her and gag her and wheel her out into a suitcase and all these things. So do you think that this valet case, though, if he does get found guilty of conspiracy for murder, are all of these websites, even the playful ones that you guys were discussing, shut down?
No, never. They'll never shut down.
You don't think that's a possibility?
No. Right. You can't shut that website down.
First of all, it's Russian, so they can't touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'll never shut down. So or it'll just go under, it'll go into the Tor web.
Yeah.
There's already stuff like that in Tor, and there's gore.net, Gore.net, when the whole thing went down with the fucking what's-his-putz with the porn star that killed his boyfriend and filmed the whole thing
right,
and put
right,
it
right,
up.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that didn't shut that down.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no, true. This is, it's a part of Benjamin Franklin, George Washington fought the British so that we could have fantasy websites about fat chicks wanting to get eviscerated by men slaves.
Absolutely. Let's put some nice, good conservative music underneath. Yeah, that's a brilliant point.
I mean, it's going to be Toby Keith all the way, brother.
It would be anti-American to get rid of these websites. If a person can't fantasize that they're a snake eating a child, then I don't know what goddamn this country is coming
to. I don't know what this country's about anymore.
It ain't right.
You got a Barack Obama in the White House? Is it bad enough?
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. Magustalations.
And all the listeners out there, write to us at cavecomedyradio@gmail.com. Weigh in on this controversy as to whether this guy was, you know, actually going to do this or not. Write in. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, and we'll do quick follow-up as soon as he gets sentenced either way. All right, guys.
Absolutely.
Well, we will talk to you soon.
Magustalations.
Heil Geen.
Heil me.
Heil yourself. Good night. Good
Don't
day.
Move to Los Angeles.
Don't move to LA.
Three thongs.
Once you want all of your dreams crushed immediately.
Yes, very much so.